Somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, somewhere along the line, if you believe in these crop formations, there is some kind of message behind it. Symbols, as our guest Freddie Silva has been telling us, a code perhaps, but why? What are they trying to tell us? We'll chat with him about that and get into the geometry and also sound. Apparently, maybe some sound is being used in order to create this as well. Back in a moment. Freddie Silva, our guest tonight on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. Freddie, have most researchers ruled out the old theories of UFOs and flying saucers as the possible cause for some of these crop formations, or is that theory still alive?
I think the theory is still pretty much alive. I think it's just expanded somewhat to encompass non-physical types of craft. There have been very, very few witnesses who have actually reported physical craft in association with crop circle events. Most of the eyewitnesses talk about non-physical craft, but then again, it goes back to the idea of the non-physical universe, doesn't it? What does constitute a physical craft? I think it's still pretty much alive and well. We have a lot of reports and also of video footage of balls of light moving in and out of crop circles at ridiculously fast speed and doing very improbable aerial maneuvers and aerobatics. So they're definitely around.
Freddie, the geometry of these crop formations fascinates me. I mean, they're just the shapes and everything. You know, I haven't even seen people on this planet come up with ideas like that. Yet we see them in these crop formations. What do you think they're trying to tell us?
It goes back to the genetic code of the human race. We're basically geometric in nature. When you take our molecules apart, what you look at are an array of molecules and atoms which are vibrating at very fast speed, all interconnected with an invisible array of geometry. And so the shapes and the designs are communicating along the same wavelength in terms of design. And it was through this that they're trying to get the information across. They get information to our DNA, for example. They get information into our crystalline structure, which is basically the bones in the human body, which carry our genetic memory. And by that method, the information is given subtly, subconsciously, which is why many people, you know, they feel that there's a right brain communication going on. They quite and quite put it into logic. They just feel it. And the information also is carrying technical information, and there are a number of scientists that I'm aware of who are quietly beavering away in their laboratories, working on new forms of technology based on what they have interpreted from the crop circles. There's a man in Oklahoma, I believe. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's been quietly experimenting with the shape of the Barbary Castle tetrahedron crop circle as a three-dimensional model, and reportedly he's actually managed to get the thing to levitate several times. And again, this was mentioned back in many, many years ago that the crop circles would be carrying this kind of information to people of a scientific mind in order to help us facilitate a new levels of technology. So it's all coming about to be true. Again, through the old channeled material, it's all coming true.
You'd mentioned that the magnetic field of the planet shuts down for a couple hours in the morning, 2 to 4 a.m. Any specific time zone that we're talking about?
Judging by the way my body feels, probably right about now. it doesn't totally shut down. It just happens to be at its lowest ebb. It's, hypothetically, it would be beating at a frequency of 500 megahertz during the daytime. As it gets progressively towards sunset and then into the middle of the night, it will go down to, say, 250. And by this sort of wave motion, by the sine wave method, it allows certain things to basically shift and move around the Earth, and for certain universal outside principles to then move and interact with the Earth as well. It's part of the Earth's rhythm, just like the moon and the tides and the way that affects the water table in the Earth.
Freddie, let's talk a little bit about sound, because it appears that sound might be also a possible vehicle for creating these formations.
Yes, indeed. In fact, sound is one of the most popular recurring themes in research. Through many researchers, I mean, it goes back way into the history of crop circle research. I mean, Isabel Kingston's mentioned this, Pat Delgado's dwelled in it, John Michel's dwelled in it, Andrew Collins, and of course Ed Sherwood as well. I mean, all of these people, we all seem to be drawing from the same source. We've tapped into a fundamental truth, and once you've tapped into that fundamental truth, it just latches onto you like a magnet. And part of the thing that got me involved into sound, I mean, I was looking at the channel transcripts from my good friend Isabel Kingston, and in a way, I wanted to try and prove that it was true. I had this nagging feeling, this gut feeling that there was something to it, and if I could try and prove that there was truth behind this, it would validate the words that she was coming that were coming through her. Now, you know, sound, of course, is one of the most important parts of the religious cultures on this planet. It's part of our creation myths. In fact, it's the only thing that any religion on the planet can actually agree on. You know, the sound was at the beginning of the universe. In the beginning, there was the Word. The Word was with God. And no matter how you sort of move that around in Hindu cultures, in Egyptian cultures, God always creates things using the word of sound. And also as a musician by nature, it began to be the line of least resistance for me because it was already familiar territory. But it was when I read this incredible book, and which in hindsight almost seems obvious, I was reading a book called The Secret Life of Plants by Peter Tompkins, which is an incredible writer. I mean, if you ever want to learn anything about any subject, that guy is able to pull together so many different things together. And so I was reading through this book, and they kept talking about the incredible use of sound and how it interacts with people, with objects, with plants, with soil, and also not just audible sound, but sound above and below the human hearing range and what it does to things. And it was just fascinating. It began to pull together a lot of very interesting points, and certainly began to put together the basis of this theory. And I'm certainly not the first person by any means to have come up with this theory, and I'm not going to be the last one either, thank God. And it's actually reassuring that so many different people from different parts of the world are using and coming up with the same theory. I think it's quite reassuring. We're on the same path of inquiry.
Freddie, our satellites seem to have mapped every area of this planet on an ongoing basis. They can call up coordinates and say, you know, look at this sector, and you can actually see things as small as a license plate on a car. Do you know if our government has looked at the coordinates where crop formations occur and have monitored them being made by whatever these forces are that are making them?
Boy, wouldn't I like to be a fly on the wall in the halls of government to find out the answer to that question.
I mean, they might have incredible pictures that they're holding back on us.
A friend of mine, no familiar connection, I think, Jonathan Sherwood actually mentioned this while we were having a little quiet pint in a pub. Because one of the, he mentioned the fact, the very point that you're making, George, the fact that, yes, they do have very advanced technology, most of which we are totally unaware of, because, I mean, a government works in secrecy, as we know, so we're always working 10, 20 years behind them. That's a given fact. given the technology, there is no doubt that they would be the first people to track the, any kind of blip on the radar, because if the, if the crop circles are electromagnetic and sonic by nature, which we know they are because they're leaving certain physiological imprints in, on the, in the soil and in the plants, then obviously they'll be tracked well before any person was able to spot them on the ground. And I was very fortunate to have talked to a couple of farmers in Hampshire in England about this. In fact, if memory serves me correct, they volunteered the information because they were telling me about one incident in England in 1998 when they heard some very unusual sounds coming from their fields at about 4:30 in the morning. And all their farm animals were behaving in a very agitated manner, in fact, including the cat and the dog who tried to jump through a window. And the farmer said, they never do that. They're the most placid creatures you'll ever find. So he thought he might be having burglars or something, or foxes. So he went out into the field, and in the middle of the morning, and at that time in the morning, you can just about see something. It gets light very early at that time in England. And the first thing he sees is a brand new imprint in the middle of his barley field, and a very large Chinook helicopter, military helicopter, basically on top of it, taking photographs, reconnoitering it, the whole thing bristling with high sensitive equipment. So we know that they are definitely the first people on the scene of a crop circle. So it makes you wonder, what on earth are they tracking?
Yeah, exactly. There's something, but I've got to believe they've got something. They've seen it. They've seen them being created, and they're probably just as baffled as we are right now.
I think they are, and I think it goes back to the whole idea, the concept of fear that they're trying to basically put for the whole hoax angle, in order that they can try and study the phenomenon before we do, so that they try and control it, perhaps, and somehow use it against us. But I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think we're working with much more. More honest principles, I think, in that respect. And I think there'll always be a gap behind the rest of the research field because we are working with much more honorable principles in bringing this out to the public.
Has anybody investigated the soil? I know we've seen pictures of what, for example, the wheat might look like in the fact that there is that magnetic field to it and everything else. But have they gotten into the soil at all to see if anything's changed there, Freddie?
Oh, very much so. And again, it goes back to the early reports of the farmers who are saying that there's something very unusual has happened to the soil inside the crop circles. And this is especially so in England, where, as you know, Georgia, it does tend to rain once in a while. And when you go into a patch of the field which has been subjected to rain overnight and you walk into a crop circle and the soil is bone dry, you know that some kind of heating element has taken place. And what happened in the last few years, people at BLT and Dr. Levin Good, Nancy Talbot, and so forth, they actually undertook some soil analysis experiments, and they had them analyzed in California and then sent the analysis to Dartmouth College in New Hampshire, Vermont border. And it was found that the crystalline structure of the soil had actually been altered to quite a considerable degree. Now, the study was done in a sort of a blind test, which meant that the people who were analyzing the soil didn't really know where it came from. And the conclusion was that something, an enormous pressure and heat, had subjected the crystalline structure of the soil to be changed. And the conclusion was that this soil would, in order to do that, it would have had to be left below the ground. In other words, it would have been compressed by a couple of miles, for example, of rock strata and subjected to the Earth's heat for a substantial amount of time, years, in order to achieve this kind of changes. And, of course, the soil was not taken from below the ground. It was actually taken from the topsoil. So the conclusion was that whatever changed the crystalline structure of the soil, the energy source had to generate heat for an incredible amount of, let's see, of centigrade, 800, 900 degrees Celsius, 1500 degrees Fahrenheit, but in a very short amount of time. And I'm talking about nanoseconds here, because if you subject the plants on top of the soil to the same heat, obviously they will be incinerated, and that is not the case in the crop circles because the plants are alive and well, even if they are slightly charred on the outside, very, very slightly charred, but yet undamaged.
We have heard that there have been some black helicopters seen in the area of crop formations. Can we then assume that governments are fully aware of this, that they're doing ongoing research, they're studying this whole situation, or do you think they've just simply not touched it at all?
Oh, I think Colin Manders and Pat Delgado touched on this back in the early 90s. Sorry, in the early 1980s, they were actually privy to a very ingenious hoax perpetrated by the British military, as it turns out, when they had this field under surveillance. And then during the same surveillance period, the military decided to show up as well. I mean, the fact that these things were happening at the edge of military fields in England, in southern England, because part of Salisbury Plain in England is actually military training land anyway, just by coincidence. So it turns out that the military were keeping the whole thing under surveillance for quite some time. They even were able to perpetrate a hoax under complete darkness, right under the very noses of the research team, under pitch dark. And it was even suggested during parliamentary question time that the military were actually asked to by Margaret Thatcher's government to keep the whole phenomenon under scrutiny. And this is actually written in the minutes of the parliamentary motions. So we know that they were definitely interested. And having lived in England, as I did for many, many years, in that particular part of the world where we get 80% of the world's crop circles, I also saw on many, many occasions when I just went out walking, just for the hell of a good walk, saw helicopters doing very, very strange maneuvers in out-of-the-way places and keeping certain fields under surveillance. Now, there are parts of that world where they do use the fields for training and military purposes. I mean, helicopters have to practice some way. But there are those occasions when they do start harassing people and they do go out of their flight path using some very sensitive equipment and doing things which are very unmilitary, you know. So one has to basically take the notion that, yes, they are keeping the whole thing under surveillance for sure.
In your opinion, Freddie, you know, if someone would just tag you to a wall and say, where are they coming from? What would you tell them?
Ooh, I'm always very reticent to talk about it. I mean, I know I can do this on this show because of the genre of information that you have on here.
Sure.
I mean, I write about this, obviously, in my book, on my website as well. And I give the whole background to this because it seems so far-fetched, and yet there is a lot of background to it. And I keep going back to these channeling materials of this incredible woman. Most of this channel material has now been validated through time because of the information that was revealed back then, which has since come to pass. And to try and put it in a nutshell, we are dealing with a core group consciousness which keeps popping up throughout the human history, specifically at times when we need a certain kick, a certain reminder of what it is that we're doing down here and our responsibility as to what we're doing here and the reverberations and repercussions of our actions on this planet and how they are affecting other levels of reality. And in this particular group, we're dealing with a group consciousness that calls itself the Watchers. And they seem to have been involved in the core group of making the crop circles. And it comes to pass over the last few years that other levels of reality, other groups, are also involved in making other designs as well for their own specific agenda. And I don't mean that in a malevolent way. I mean in the fact that we have different races on Earth who have different agendas and different backgrounds. It's the same thing in the universe as well. Different races, different groups of consciousness who are giving us helpful information imprinted in these designs, which are helping us to basically move forward at a much more positive stage.
Well, is there a possibility these messages are angelic?
Absolutely, and it's been my experience overwhelmingly that that everything that seems to have happened in the crop circle phenomenon around me, to me, have been of a very positive nature. I mean, for one thing, just the beauty of the designs that are created seem to suggest that there is, for lack of a better word, as you say, George, an angelic hand behind it. Criminals rarely, very rarely, create beautiful art, elegant art, an art which certainly is of a great intellect, as the late geometer and astronomer Gerald Hawkins has found out when he uncovered five new geometric theorems encoded in crop circles. That's a mind of a very high esteem, of a very high intellectual source. So I have no doubt in my mind, from my personal experiences, that there's nothing but benevolence that comes from this phenomenon.
Where do you pick up the book, Secrets in the Fields?
Well, if you want to support your local author, your struggling author, you can pick it up from my website at www.lovely.clara.net or the Crop Circular. There's also a DVD there in case you want to basically look at the whole book in moving pictures. Yes, it's certainly available now, and look forward to receiving lots of interesting emails from people who are curious.
Indeed. Stay with us, Freddie. When we come back, I'll tell you what. Let's open up Fast Blast Questions now for our guest, Freddie Silva. A lot of you are interested already, so that's what we'll do. We'll work off the Fast Blasts, send them to me, and I'll get the questions directly to Freddie Silva right here on Coast to Coast AM.
To access the audio archives of Coast to Coast AM, log on to coasttocoastam.com. Makes it easy to live without somebody else. Someone like you makes it hard to give. Never think about myself. If I listened long enough to you, Gateway to the West. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, first of all, the first hour, our guest will be SETI Institute astronomer Seth Shostak. He's going to be highlighted in a Monday, May 30th National Geographic Channel special called Make Contact, called Extraterrestrial. It's going to be a very fascinating program. First hour, Seth Shostak on our next Coast to Coast program. And then our main show guest will be Dr. Eric Fisher as we talk about regression therapy and some other issues of the paranormal. But when we come right back, your Fast Blast questions for our guest tonight, Freddie Silva, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And Freddie Silva, our guest right here on Coast to Coast AM. Freddie, assuming for a moment that these crop formations are made by some force, some unknown force, how long do you think it takes to make the crop circle? if it's made by one of these forces?
Well, according to at least 80 of the eyewitnesses around the world that have been collected over the last 20 years, they seem to appear in a matter of about 15 seconds.
Almost instantly, then. Just boom, there it
instantly.
Is.
Almost instantly. In fact, I remember Pat Delgado, one of the early researchers who is now retired, a lovely man, by the way, he reported mentioning as a NASA engineer when he was looking at the whiplash of the down plants that the motion, the flattening motion, would have to be extremely rapid because the way that the plants started at the origin rotated in a spiral form and met back at its point of closure. The whiplash would have had to last less than about 8 to 12 seconds. In other words, there had been substantial damage to the actual seed heads had it been lasting a lot longer. So that seemed to correlate a lot with the eyewitness accounts of things happening in about 15 seconds. And I think I also remember that Nippon Television on one occasion actually inadvertently caught a crop circle appearing on film right at the very edge, tantalizingly so, of the film equipment, a crop circle that looked like a question mark. And it's a very, very rare piece of footage, which had to be handed over to the BBC, by the way, under the contractual obligations. And would you believe the BBC lost it?
Oh, no.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
It did make its rounds onto a video, which is now impossible to get your hands on. But yes, the evidence is that they actually did make copies of this, and you can see it right at the very edge of the limit of the equipment at 4:30 in the morning. There is a little swirled motion in the crop, 15 seconds. Absolute magic.
Let's go to some fast blast questions, if we can, Freddie. Pat from Alberta, Canada, wants to know if there are any healing or ailing effects by standing inside a crop circle.
Oh, absolutely. And this is an area of incredible interest, and I certainly encourage people to look into this further. I put some of this on my website just to get people interested. And there's one woman in particular in England who's actually taken to collating a lot of information, Lucy Pringle. She has collected at least 700 reports of people noting down the physiological effects when they go into the crop circles. Some obvious, some not so. But to give you a general impression, and again also from some of the research that I've collected, it seems to me that there is an electromagnetic influence in the crop circles which seems to be stimulating the human electromagnetic field, because we are, after all, electromagnetic beings too. So whenever you encounter another electromagnetic field, you are basically going to start finding some kind of sympathetic vibratory reference. And I had situations where people have actually gone into the crop circles, in some cases ingested the seeds. And in one very famous case, not far from me in New Hampshire, a gentleman ingested the seeds, went into it, to a crop circle. He had a retinal cancer, which is 99% malignant. In other words, the cornea would have to be removed because of the cancer was so developed. And after a couple of months of ingesting the seeds and having gone into the crop circle, the tumor was gone. And to this day, the doctors are absolutely baffled. That's one of the most incredible stories I've heard of in terms of crop circles and healing. Another one happened not too far from me in Portland, Maine. It's something I just heard about. A young lady who administered water, which had been potentized by placing on a picture of a crop circle, which is part of a technique that was actually developed by the Institute of Resonance Therapy in Germany, by the way.
Just a picture now of a crop circle.
Just a picture, an unadulterated picture of a crop circle. You can transpose the energy of the circle through intent to the actual water, as in homeopathy. And she administered this to a patient, a friend of hers, who again was suffering from cancer. And from what I understand, the cancer is gone.
Incredible.
It is incredible, and people who've even had problems lying down for 15 years, they've had to be helped to their beds and had to have someone help them rise from the bed in the morning. They go into a crop circle, they lie down, they get up totally on their own accord, and they are fine. This is incredible. The consequences for healing and free healing are quite incredible, sure. Which also means that the effort by the establishment, if you are of that inclination, to try and put a lid on this kind of thing is quite extraordinary. They would go to extraordinary lengths to make sure that you and I don't know about this.
I mean, so if you're saying that you could get a clean picture of a crop formation and then place like a jug of water on top of it, it would have incredible medicinal properties for you?
When I was doing some work with the Institute of Resonance Therapy, I was amazed to hear of this, how they were able to, and their technique is actually a lot more complicated. It does involve orgone energy as well. But they use the images of the crop circles to transmit a code across distance, in other words, remote healing, to places in Europe, forests, rivers which were dying in Eastern Europe. They were able to transmit a code to the local energetic field, which stimulated the local energetic field and was able to rejuvenate the growth in local organisms. That is quite something. And I have also worked with a number of people who've taken this kind of technique in a much more simplified way, combined it with the homeopathic principle, and taken a picture of the crop circle. And again, it has to be an unadulterated shot. It cannot be shifted in the X or Y axis as you can, for example, in Photoshop on a computer. You take the picture, and you rotate the picture ever so slightly until it clicks with the Earth's magnetic field. And if you're into intuitive work, you will know when that happens, because your body will suddenly feel like it's clicked into a large cog. It's a very unusual feeling, like someone's trying to tickle you. And you put on top of it a vial of water, preferably spring water, comes from a natural spring or a holy well. And through your intent, through your purposeful intent, you basically ask this living organism that is a crop circle to transfer the healing potential of the energy of that design into the water. And then it is administered homeopathically through drops. And incredible things are happening. And this is all just empirical evidence. I mean, it's also circumstantial evidence, but people are beginning to react positively to it. And it's incredible, absolutely incredible.
John from California wants to know if there's any specific pattern to crop formations when they change. Is there another evolution that you could predict, for example, on what they could look like?
The prediction is actually quite a bit of a fun that we used to do every year. I actually was very interested in that very subject, the predictive quality of the crop circles. Many people have actually tapped into that with great success, as if you're actually talking to a living being and they are reading your thoughts. For many, many years around the late 1990s, I was doing dowsing, and I began to predict the crop circles, where they were going to be, to a fairly good degree of accuracy, to within two or three fields. The timing was always a problem, because time is something that's relative to us here on Earth and not to anybody else in the solar system or in the universe in general. And what I did every year at the beginning of the season, say in February, I would ask different people for their impressions. I would ask computer experts, I would ask psychics, I would ask accountants, people from America and in England, and I would ask them for their impression. What are they going to look like generally this year, and where do you think the big one is going to be? Because there's usually a season finale, we like to call it, and also preferably a location. And I would collate this information and then just forget about it until, say, September, till the end of the season. And I'll be amazed every year that we always manage to get it pretty much on target. In some cases, even predicting the number of genuine crop circles that were going to appear for that year. One specific case in 1999 where we all pretty much got it exactly on the nose. We predicted this 7- and 9-fold geometry that was going to appear as a major pattern on a specific day in a specific field in Roundway in England. And would you believe it, I even booked the plane 2 days in advance, knowing full well the thing was going to be there, without telling the pilot, because it would have ruined the experiment. And then it's a very funny, actually it's a very sickly funny story, because we had actually, a few of us had wanted to go to the field because it was actually below a hill. we would have been able to see everything. I mean, we were just rubbing our hands in glee. We're finally going to nail this thing. We know where it's going to be. We're going to capture it on film, finally. This is our momentous occasion. And would you believe it, at 11:30 at night, not one person could lift their feet off the floor of my house. We all just fell asleep. It's as if the house had been gassed. Everybody collapsed on the sofa. We're all dragging each other across the room saying, look, this is a momentous occasion. We're going to miss this. And we just could not, for the whole of the money in China, get up and go out of the house. And come early morning, 7 in the morning, I suddenly woke up and realized, oh, God, we've missed it. And I raced across to the airfield, got in the plane, and told the pilot, look, we're going to go. Here's the location. It's going to be Roundway. And the pilot said to me, forget it. I was flying over Roundway last night, Freddie. There's no way there's a crop circle there. There was nothing there last night. And I insisted. I said, let's go there. I'm sure it's there. So we flew there, and the early morning mist parted like a curtain in a play. And there, lo and behold, was a crop circle exactly in the shape and position that we had all predicted. And I can't even I can't tell you on air the expletive he shouted.
No, you cannot.
Needless to say, he converted very quickly to crop circles being genuine.
Tim from Riverside, California says, two words, Star Wars. He believes this is the use of high-intensity lasers from space done by government. Your thoughts?
Very difficult to prove, isn't it? A part of me wants to say yes, and part of me in 1999 was suspicious enough of three specific crop circles in England which didn't seem to fit the particular requirements of a hoaxed design or a genuine one. These were three patterns which just were unusual. They were very clinical. They were almost made by a machine rather than a sentient being or a criminal, as I tend to term hoaxes, unfortunately. These three didn't fit. But at the same time, there was this unusual energy that was being doused in them. It was a sort of a fleeting microwave energy. I tend to douse for either sound, magnetic energy, or just low-lying Earth energy, electromagnetic frequencies. Microwave is a very high-end spectrum electromagnetic frequency, and it's very fleeting. It comes and goes. It dissipates very, very quickly. And it suggested to me in these three designs that microwave had been involved. Now, whether the designs were originally man-made and then were imprinted with a beam of microwave energy is another matter. But I haven't been able to follow any further because I can't prove the existence of these weapons. But there is that hint that something was up. The only physical evidence I'd have to sustain this argument is that when I went back a year later to look at these sites where these three particular designs had occurred, the plants, the new growth that had sprouted from the ground, all the plants were stunted, and that is a good indication of intense microwave bombardment, that it does stunt plant growth. Microwave is very, very detrimental if used in the wrong way. And if they are using beams in the Star Wars experiment, I would have probably thought that they would have used that kind of frequency. And these three examples are the only things I can point to.
Well, and as you've been saying too, Freddie, that we have had crop circles for hundreds of years. We didn't have our satellites up there then.
That is true, of course, which brings us back to the point, who is making these? And it goes back to the point that I keep making in the book, that there are different levels of awareness. There are these group consciousness called the Watchers, who are very ethereal beings who keep popping up in our history. There are people who make land art to try and mimic crop circles. Some of them look very, very good in the latter years, but they can't mimic the real phenomenon. And then there's the military involvement, there's the hardware involvement, which we know little about because these people work in total secrecy. We have to keep a very, very wide perimeter in this understanding.
John from Portland again wants to know how many countries have crop circles. I think your answer was 29, right?
29 to date, and the numbers just seems to keep growing because of the availability of information on the Internet. As more websites come up, so more people begin to come online, and they realize that, hey, there's someone that I can tell this information to. I was over in Portugal, which is actually my country of origin, believe it or not. I collect passports for a living, George.
You do?
I'm an American resident alien, and I can tell you I am certainly not green, and I'm much taller than 4 feet.
And you're legal.
And I'm legal alien.
Yeah, that's important.
But yes, I mean, I was over in Portugal doing some energy work down there, and someone emailed me a short while after to report that they were flying into the airport in Lisbon, and in the rice fields just outside the airport, they actually saw a very large oval-shaped crop circle in the fat paddy rice fields, which actually was had in Japan as well. So they're everywhere. They're popping up everywhere, and they're becoming much more prominent here in America as well, which is, I want to say, a prediction I'm making that they are coming much more prominent here in the States.
Why is that? What do you think?
I think because the general awareness of the public here is becoming much more acceptive. Again, like in England in the 1980s when you know, Pat Delgado, Terence Meaden, and Don Tursley first began to recognize the crop circles for what they were and gave them their attention and intention, that they, like the living organism that they are, they reacted to that positive intent. And I think here in America, and perversely through the use of the film Signs, which it really has very little to do with crop circles at all, and people should take it as a piece of fiction, which incidentally helped my book sales to no end, because my book came out the same day as the film, quite by coincidence, I have to say. And through that film alone, so many people have suddenly become aware of the phenomenon. They become to either ridicule it or they become to accept it as something of a very high nature. And because of that acceptance, I think the phenomenon is beginning to react. I was at a conference in California recently, where in fact I rubbed shoulders with you, George, where people were telling me that they had crop circles in Missouri. And that we'd never heard about this. And one, because some of the crop circles appeared on Amish land, and the Amish were very afraid of them. They thought they were the work of the devil, and if you came anywhere near them to try and photograph these crop circles, they would not only shoot you, they would actually sue you, which is very unusual for Amish people. And some farmers even set fire to the entire field before anybody came to actually take any measurements. So there is that trepidation still, that fear, but you can see that people are beginning to react in a positive way in America, and specifically in the upper Midwest, in Montana, in the Canadian prairie, and the circles are reacting to it. If you give them a welcome mat, they will come.
I wonder if it's possible, Freddie, that because we're beginning to see more and more of these in the United States, if whoever is doing this with a code, they're getting very frustrated that the code hasn't been broken yet. So maybe they're saying, look, we've tried the people in England. They're not getting it yet. We've tried it here. You know, is that possible?
God, if I was one of them, I've given up a long time ago. I think, actually, it's... I actually dedicated a whole chapter to this because it is fascinating. I mean, I myself have been very frustrated by the lack of supposed forward progress. But in fact, there is a lot more positive forward motion than we are aware of. A lot more people are making good progress in deciphering, in using the information to good use. And many more people are putting the information out into the world. We just don't get to hear much about it.
All right, stay with us. We're going to open up the phone lines now and give you an opportunity to talk with Freddie Silva. And, of course, a lot of people continue to write in about the crop formation pictures and on healing water. We'll have Freddie talk a little bit about that again when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM.
Podcasting, the new way to get Coast to Coast AM to your computer. Available to all StreamLink subscribers at coasttocoastam.com.